time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yeah, this is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back. Back again. Black History Year. Scorpio season. Fourth quarter looming. We about to take 2021 out with a bang.
Bird up.
Yeah. How you feeling, brother?
I'm feeling good.
Go ahead, I cut you off.
How you feeling? What does Scorpio season talking about? You know, you celebrated last week. What's cracking?
It was good, man. It's been a good time, man. I'm chilling, man. I went out to New Orleans for my birthday. Word. Yeah, man. Yeah, I went out to the NO. I had to ask somebody, do they still call it the NO? Because I didn't want to be that nigga that, you know, is calling Atlanta Hot Atlanta. But I went out to New Orleans for a couple of days. Real quick in and out trip, you know what I mean? And kicked it out there. I seen Thundercat. He performed. He did a show out there. I was I was gonna go see Trey versus Zion, but Zion, they haven't started him yet. I think he's still kind of out of shape. You know what I mean? So he might not come back till like mid November. So, and the time when I flew in, like that was on the day that I flew in, I was coming off of like 2 hours of sleep. I was still debating on going just to be going, but I didn't want to be tired all in the stadium. And I was at that point, I was in the hotel, and the fucking game was on the big screen, and the hotel had a bed. So I was up in that bitch laid up. It was a good time, man. It was fun. You know, it was a good time. I went out there, did, you know, some walking around. I ate pretty good. I always feel like this is my third time in New Orleans. I always feel like I'm just scratching the surface. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much shit that I want to see that I haven't seen, you know? Like, again, it was a pretty quick trip. So, you know, I hung out, went down to Frenchman Street, did Bourbon Street, you know what I mean? I was in the business district. I went to this one spot, the Dragon's Den. That shit, I just happened upon it. I was looking for some shit. I just happened upon it out the blue. Like, I was going, it was late, and I was going past on Frenchman Street and past it. Certain bars was closed, certain bars was open. It was a weird thing, you know? Then I just heard, off in the distance, I heard that WizKid Essence record playing and shit. I said, oh, this sound like some shit over here. Like, it looked like a juke joint. That shit was up in the cut to the you turn the corner and then it was a whole situation. I was like, let me go up in there. That shit was rocking. That shit, they was playing all that old, like that New Orleans type shit. You know, you know, I can't do the shit, but you know, with the like the double time shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Flipping the trigger, the bounce shit, you know, and the bounce remixes of other shit. And then, so that shit was fire. They were playing, it was ill too. You know, it's always ill when you go to a certain city and they playing their local artists. You know, not their local artists, but their artists that are from there. Like, you know, they playing like Lil Wayne mixtape records and the crowd's going crazy off of just shit off of Sorry for the Wait. You know what I mean? Not the singles and no shit like that. So it was just kind of cool to be in that element. It was interesting. There's some places asked to see your vaccine card. Some people didn't. Some places didn't give a fuck. A lot of naked faces. You know what I'm saying? So it was a weird thing. Like I was for the most part masked up as often as I could. But you know, you drinking and eating and shit like that. Next thing you know, and had your mask off for an hour,
but naked faced it.
You know what I mean? Just exposed to all types of droplets and shit, whatever the fuck. Anyway, pause if need be. But that shit was a good ass time. I had fun. I would go a little longer. Next time, if I ever go around this time again, I would probably stay through Halloween because it looked like that's a thing out there. Like, Halloween looks like that's a, you know, they were already kind of getting ready for it. People were dressed up and shit like that, like just days before. And I hear it's like a big, you know, like a big party in the city or whatever. So I would probably check that out. But, overall, I had a good time. I had a good birthday. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, that was it. It was fun. It was fun. It was really chill. It was really chill. It was my first time flying since the pandemic. So I was nervous about, not nervous. I wasn't super nervous. I bought me some good masks. Some with them, the thick joints, the little K95s. I got to them shits late. Like, I seen them. I ain't really like how they looked on face. You know what I mean? I had some, you know, some regular joints that they got me through so far. But I was like, if I'm getting on a plane, let me get a little bit more insulation. Yo, these masks are official. These shits, I like these shits a lot. Nah, shit was cool. Flights was nice. Bing, bing. They, in the little Delta lounge on the way back, they had gumbo in the Delta lounge, and that shit was fire. You know what I mean? Like, the shit was, it was a good
time.
You
still got Delta lounge access?
Yeah, well, I got it through the cards. You know what I mean? I got shit like that. So, yeah. So, I got that.
My Delta done fell off.
Oh, yeah.
Rebuild, you know, that whole year and a half of no flying.
Yeah, nah, I get it because I got the Amex card, so I get the Centurion line, but they don't have it in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So since I think even if I wasn't flying Delta, since you have access to that lounge, they swap it and give you the Delta lounge. And that shit was fire. Mm. That shit was cool.
No doubt.
Yeah, man, but overall, man, it was a good time. It was, I will say that Ida kind of hit them hard. You know, I've totally forgot all about that. But, like, you know, a lot of places that I was trying to go to, some of them places wasn't open. Like, they were closed down. They were under repair. Mm-hmm. Yes, you're driving from the airport or to the airport, you're seeing still there, like, trees that were uprooted all on the side. You're seeing roofs that were torn off. Like, you know, that shit hit them kind of hard out there. But, and then, mm-hmm. you know, add that with COVID, you know, it definitely affected the vibe, you know, like I made the analogy. It felt like going to an arcade, but some of the games was out of order. You know what I mean? Like, you was excited still, you know what I mean? Still some lights and all that shit, but, you know, fucking Street Fighter machine wasn't working. So you like, you know what I mean? But, you know, overall, I had a great time. So shout out.
That's what's up.
Yeah,
New Orleans know how to host. You know what I mean? They know how to be a city for a good time. You know. Let me ask you this: was you solo?
I was solo out there, so you know it was interesting. Yeah.
Go ahead. I was you know, trying to gauge: was you rolling with some people or you was just solo?
No, I was dolo. Yeah, I was dolo. I could have used a Sherpa. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, I just scratched the surface. So a lot of my shit was shit that I heard about. I did some recon, asked a few people. And, you know, like, again, this is my third time there. So it was a couple places that I'd known about, wanted to go to. And it was a quick trip, too. So, but, yeah. But go ahead. You said it's a good, they host you well out there.
Yeah, they host you well out there. And you know, it's always good people, you know? So, yeah. Even when you just floating and, you know, you always end up with good people, like a good, you know what I'm saying? It's usually you could come up on a good little Sherpa right quick, just moving about good people, you know?
Right.
You know, you get one call, they put you with one person, and then that person then put you with the rest of the city. That type of vibe out there, you know?
I could have used that. Yeah, that'd have been nice.
Yeah. I didn't know that's what you was doing. When you asked about that restaurant, you didn't give me no context.
Like, oh, okay, I thought I told you. Yeah, you just said,
what's the name of that restaurant? I was like, shit, I can't remember.
Oh, right. Damn. Yeah, but, I thought I told you that. Yeah, nah.
But, you know, next time. Next time. Got a couple of Sherpas on the ground out there.
Oh, okay. All right. Bad. Yeah. Some Zulus.
Yeah, I got Zulu connects, you know, some political connects. You know what I'm saying? Some, like, you know, new Louisiana music connects. You know, shit. Old Zakafri out there if you just need a, you know what I'm saying, a spiritual circle that could just get you into places just off his energy alone.
That sounds like a plan next time. Shit. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So he's new out there, but you know, it don't take him long. He's the type of nigga that lived in the jungle. In Belize.
Oh, right. Where was it? Zimbabwe or somewhere?
Nah, in Belize.
Okay, right. Okay.
Bro. He went to Belize and lived in the rainforest for a few years. Got cool with the locals and built the hut and, you know, learned how to barter. So he know how that's to real.
Yeah, that's some shit. That is phenomenal. When to do that shit, build your own hut in the midst. I like that.
Right.
That's getting it out the mud, literally. But shout out to the guy.
Yeah,
sir. What's up with you, man? How you been? How was your week?
Man, you shit. I was at the FAMU homecoming. So
okay.
You know, that was just a great turn up.
I'm sure.
A lot of butt naked faces, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You're gonna see a couple of pictures of me out there butt naked facing.
Florida. Yeah.
So, you know, I'm praying on my health.
On your
right
PCR?
Now.
Yeah. No, I can dig it.
We were out there with Will Packer. They built an amphitheater on campus and it, you know, his name is on it. So that's like a huge deal. That's like big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like you'll never know the people who names be on the buildings and shit.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? People that's been long gone or whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
The Knight Foundation and shit. You know what I'm saying? Shit like that. You don't know these people. But when it's somebody out your era, to somebody, you know, that you've worked with, that you've been cool with all the way from the jump, it's different. You know what I'm saying? It's different. So that was dope. So they had the whole ribbon cutting ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
First take was out there with Stephen A. Smith and crew.
Then, yeah, I saw a clip. Yeah. I meant to send it to you with Kevin Hart going in on Stephen A. That shit was funny.
Yeah, then Kevin Hart and the Plastic Cup Boys did they show from the stage.
So, oh, they did a full show.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did the LOL show. The LOL show, the Heart Straight from the Heart.
Nah, the Plastic Cup Boys podcast.
Okay. Because I know they got a radio show they do too.
Well, that's probably it. I think that's it, the radio show. SiriusXM radio show. Yeah, that's probably
Straight from the
it.
Heart.
Yeah,
that's
it. Yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know if that was the name of it, but yeah.
Okay.
whatever they do, that was they doing.
Okay. Bet.
So that was, you know what I mean? So you had all of the you know, FAMU is more of an organic type of homecoming. You know what I'm saying? It's not like Howard homecoming where it's a whole lot of celebrity presence all the time. You know what I mean? It's like FAMU, ours is more, and I just thought about this while I was there because, you know, I had my man B. Moore producing with me on this.
Mm-hmm.
He was a producer on this project with me. And he went to Howard. And so, you know, it's always that compare and contrast with the Howard people. You know, they always want to, you know, argue that how they're much better than everyone else.
Right.
At this point, it's like, man, it's not an argument. You know, you do have the biggest, you know, most entertainment bound homecoming is big. You got the Yard Fest. You got, you know, the tailgate. You got celebrities. You know what I mean? You got that. You guys protesters. Are blessed. You're blessed with geography. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You're HBCU in a big city that's very close proximity to New York and the entertainment industry with two international airports to get people in and out. You got, you know, a decent seller train that could get you out of there when you need to at any time. Right. So it's a lot of gifts bestowed upon, you know what I mean, their institution. Like, you know, you go to a lot of these other schools is in the small town, isolated out somewhere, you know, very small airport. You can't get people in and out real quick. You know what I'm saying? It's a four and a half hour drive from Atlanta. You know what I mean? It's a quick little flight from Miami, but it's not close. And you're not going to be able to get in and out real quick because the last flight probably at 7 o'clock. So, you know, it's geographically challenged. So to see everybody that came out for this, you know what I'm saying? You know, they they wanted to be there. You know what I'm saying? They they sacrificed time to be there. They, you know what I mean? They either private jetted it or they, you know what I'm saying, took two flights to get there, you know? So so it was interesting to see as much celebrity presence as it was. And, you know, fan, you on a like a Hollywood type of stage. You know, you're not used to it in that way. So that was different. It was like, oh shit, it's a whole new level, you know what I mean? Right. Not that it's gonna be that forever or all the time, but it's possible and people will make the effort to get it done, you know? And to see, you know, just different people in different spots from FAMU making it happen and helping bringing it all together was dope. Right. So, you know, that first day was, you know, that celebration, that was dope. And then, you know, they had the day party that's like from our era, like the all of the celeb, the, you know, the alumni, celeb alumni, not celebrity, but, you know, famous amongst us, campus famous. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
All of the old campus famous people.
The legends.
Yeah, the legends. Yeah. Just like the legends party. Because the way they do it, the promoters, it's a Friday soiree is the name of the party. And, you know, the promoters are like, you know, a famous Q, a famous Delta, a famous AKA, and an Alpha. You know what I'm saying? So you're getting all of the worlds. And and they've been doing it for like 10 years and it's been getting bigger, you know, every time. So that was dope because, you know, you got to see all the famous folks and take it to that. Then, you know, Will was the grand marshal of the parade. Now, this way it got interesting.
Okay.
Because, you know, he had a float built, you know what I mean? And, you know, floats, you know, it's usually floats and, you know, usually got the hodgepodge sound system and, you know, and, and you know, it floats on by. It's usually sitting on top of a car, you know what I mean? Something like that. But they had this float built with a, you know, had a little rattler on the front, but the sound system was so dope. You know, it had a DJ up there, and but the sound system was crystal clear. Like, you know what I mean? As we're tracking it to shoot it, you know what I'm saying? You could hear that shit, you know what I'm saying, from all the way down. You could hear the voices cutting through. Like, you know what I'm saying? You could hear it coming before you see it. And then when he get up on you, when he get, you know, into the more populated areas, then they got the confetti cannons on the side. Poof! So all this confetti come. So he got the music playing. You got, you know, he loud and he be on the mic doing his mic check thing. And then you got the confetti. Poof! I was like, boy, this is how you make a motherfucking appearance.
This is how you do it. This is exactly word to Montel. You got a fucking amphitheater. Yeah, you got to be that motherfucker. No modest noise. How was the other sound systems
all week?
It was crazy. So he had his shit made by some other people, or like,
yeah, I guess somebody, some company may have put it together. They had some dope specs. Like the confetti cannon, though, that just adds to it. Like, you know, you coming down the block, you already bumping the music. You got the DJ, you talking your talk, then you hit him with the poof.
That sounds ill. That sounds
funny. So that shit was funny. So it was a good deal, man. It was a exciting homecoming. The game was dope. We whooped up on Grambling.
Okay. Got a win too, huh?
Yeah. Saw some of my cousins, you know what I'm saying? It was a good vibe.
Okay. All right. That's what's up. As somebody that's done productions at FAMU before, to see someone like you said, like ESPN came through and then they built this amphitheater, you know, in honor, you know, they got the Will Packer amphitheater now. Did it show you, was it interesting or were you struck by any of the ways that they utilize the same, you know, surface area that you would do stuff on? Like as far as production level stuff, were you struck by anything? Were you blown away by anything? Were you like, wow?
No, I think it was, oh, wow, that, you know, oh, wow was like, bam, they got his name up on that joint. And, you know, he got the kind of, it's like the kind of shit that light up. It ain't just the steel letters. It's like, you know what I'm saying? Poof, you know, name and lights.
Okay.
And then the thing that struck me is that, you know, it's in the exact same spot when we took Yard Fest there. It's in the exact same spot where our stage was at. You know what I mean?
Okay. Wow. So, interesting. So that whole lawn, that whole thing is now amphitheater.
Yeah, that's the amphitheater now. The first 2 years, and then they moved us and said we couldn't be there because it make too much noise on the administration building. Blah blah blah. But it's in that exact same spot. They tore down all the girls' dorms that was around that spot, so now it's just wide open. So, you know, it's like a whole different world. It's a whole different world. But, you know, again, you know, somebody said, you know, is he the most famous rattler ever? And I was like, well, let me think about that. I was like, well, you know, we got Althea Gibson, a couple other folks, but from this generation, most definitely. You know what I'm saying? The most, you know, like famous, you know what I mean? Like in what people recognize. So
You got Roy Wood Jr. who dropped his special.
He was there too. He was out there too.
Yeah, I know. He gave a speech.
Yeah, he gave a speech at Convocation.
Yeah. Same day as his special dropped. I haven't seen it yet, but he working to come up there, get on that Will Packer level. You know what I'm saying? He building that name. But you know. Shit, I guess that's all I could think of. I don't know. I had to go ahead and give it to him.
That shit. Yeah. Cause I couldn't think of nobody. I mean, I'm probably insulting somebody right now, but
I don't know.
Damn. Yeah. You know.
Man, what about Rattler Ron?
Who?
Rattler Ron. No, no shouts to Rattler Ron.
Who was that?
Rattler Ron. I don't know. I'm just making up shit.
But I met a kid who did some dope shit. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a couple of producers and stuff. I met this kid, Cosign. He produced that track for One Time for the Birthday Bee. With Trap Beckham. He, you know what I'm saying? He said he worked with Kanye, a couple other cats, but Pepsi had a bus, you know, you know Kanan. Kanan was out there with Pepsi and he had Cosign with him, and that was my first time meeting him, and he was a cool kid, man. Cool kid. We was on the tour bus having deep conversations. And he was like, man, we in the river. I was like, yeah, we in the river. Because it was like everything was flowing. You know what I'm saying? It was on some deep shit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, damn, we in the river. So that was cool. Right. Shout out to Cosign.
That's what's up. Shout out to that man. That's cool. He's still there or he's an alumni?
Nah. He's an alumni. He was there. He was in the band and shit.
Yeah, that's
he was
fire.
Just back like everybody else.
That's fire. So you got some good footage?
Oh, yeah. We got great footage.
Okay.
All kind of footage, drone footage, ground footage. We was out there. He was all the way out there. Stills. It was a great time. Photos.
Stills.
Okay, yeah, stills.
Okay, got you.
Yeah. So that was dope, man. You know, I don't know what my COVID scenario is right now, but was a lot of people. Was a lot of bare faces.
Right. Yeah. When you're in environments like that, it's crazy when you like you feel like the only one with the mask on. You know what I'm saying? And after a while,
you're
getting
judged.
Oh, of course, because you look like you got that shit. You know what I mean? It's got to be the reason. It's not preventative. It's got to be because you got that shit. You shouldn't even be here. And, yeah, man. You know what I mean? But, you know, yeah, I gotta go ahead and get me a little PCR. I'm just trying to see what's what. I think I should be good, but you know, the more you know.
Well, clarity. You're selling them shits at the drugstore now.
I know, man. I gotta go cop one at home, piece. Ain't even nobody to console you. It's just you in the medicine cabinet mirror. Like, damn. I guess this is it. I guess I gotta lay low. Anyway, what else is going on, dude? Shit, what's on your mind? What you got going on? What's
on my mind?
Yeah.
Hold on right quick. Fuck. trying to get to my down, you know, 24, 44. Let me, yeah. And then I'll get in here and getting requests. Can't even go on your emails no more. All right. Oh, yeah. Oh, all right, cool. It's 24:50, 24:47 is what I need to do it. All right. The time. I need to
All right, back. Let's go down. Yeah. I was like, huh? All right,
here we go. So, man, what's on my mind, what one of the things that fucked me up over the weekend is that my father, you know, when you're working and you're moving around and shit, you need your communication shit to be working, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my AirPods is, man, they on some bullshit. You know what I'm saying? It's like in for a second, then they can't hear you. They get halfway through a conversation, then all of a sudden they can't hear you. Then they not connecting. Then this is about my fourth pair of these bitches, you know?
Your fourth pair?
Yeah, AirPods. Wow. Oh, I lost two early on, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh, Then I got a pair, you know what I'm saying, I'm mad responsible with, right? You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Mad responsible.
Okay.
Then, you know, after about 6-7 months, now the mic don't work. Nobody can hear you, you know what I mean? You can hear clearly, but nobody can hear you. So those are regulated to listening to shit on the computer, you know what I mean? Or connecting to the Apple TV. You know, they just headphones now.
So, let me ask you this. Hold on. Uh-huh. That's kind of ill. I didn't know about this. So, if you watch an Apple TV on a regular TV, if you connect your AirPods, it'll be quiet in the room and you can just hear it on your AirPods?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fire. I didn't know about that. Okay, that's kind of cool. Okay.
So that's cool. That's so, you know, they do that, shit like that. You know what I'm saying? So then you got another, I got another pair. Now I'm about 6-7 months into those.
Uh-huh.
And they on the fritz. Mm. I'm like, man, this is some bullshit.
Apple.
I don't know. And you know, quite frankly, the next best option, I don't know, I guess you could go and try the pros, this new pros that's coming out with the new chip or whatever, blase skip, but I guess they might be doing the same shit with the AirPods that they doing with the phones, slowing your shit down when the new shit's coming out.
They slowing down your hearing on them shits? Nigga hearing shit on the delay.
Like halfway working, you in and out. You know what I'm saying? They got sued about the phone. They probably like, they can't prove it on the AirPods. Though.
Right. What you say?
You know what I'm saying? Go clean your shit. Your shit got wax in it.
Uh-huh. You know what I mean? Shaming you. Yeah, you know man. Man?
Yeah, so I'm like, man, I was one of the cats that was working with him. He had the Beats, which like the small Beats that fit in. Uh-huh. I'm like, those look cool because they black. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's just standing out with the white joints hanging out your ears, looking like, you know, eye person and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, maybe I'll try the Beats. You know what I'm saying? But then you'd be like, damn, that's Apple too. Shit.
Oh, they still own them shit? They still own Apple? Yeah. I mean, Beats still own Apple. They got, quiet.
Yes.
Quiet. Yes. Fake competitor. That's right. Hilarious. Right. That's funny as shit. Get you some Raycons. I don't know if you're trying to do that. I've been hearing some pretty good things. You know, nigga don't want me to. You don't want me to cat to be like, yo, what you got? What are those ass ears?
But I'm saying, so how they look though? What the Raycons look like?
I don't know. They look like them in ears. I haven't really. No. I don't fuck with none of that in ear shit yet. I'm still wired up, man. I'm afraid to catch Bluetooth cancer, so I don't be fucking with none of that shit. But
you might be Raycon, on some.
Yeah, man. I'm chilling. I still got a wire on my shit.
Raycons, that's Ray J?
That's Ray J. That's old Ray J. Ray J and somebody else, but you know. I've been hearing pretty good things about Ray. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what the price point is. I think it's significantly less. You know, I don't know if it's the, what do you call it? The, what's the name of them TVs that they sell at Walmart? You know them TVs. There's a certain brand that you know you got a deal, but they may not rock. Or they might be the Kobe's. Remember Kobe's? COBY? Mm-hmm. Before, the headphone era and them shits was cool for about 3 weeks. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard a lot of Raycon slander. I've actually heard a lot of people saying,
yo,
you know, that type of props, you know, the backhanded props, like, nigga, I didn't think it was going to be like that. Those testimonials, which is positive. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder how the connectivity functionality
with
works,
Apple,
you know what I'm saying? With Apple.
I don't know. They probably Google it. I would imagine. I think Bluetooth as a technology is still, in my mind, I think it's still independent. So it's like, it's kind of like everybody got to, you know what I mean? Everybody has to participate. I don't know about how it would work with your Apple TV, but if there's still Bluetooth, it's Bluetooth technology. So it should be neutral.
Yeah, Apple TV works with my speaker, so I'm sure it'll work with some headphones.
Yeah. So there you go. That's an option. Yeah, Raycon, I never got into that. Yeah, Raycon. Do that shit for the culture.
Oh shit.
Nah, man, see about that.
No
shit,
doubt.
Man. Let us know. Give us a report back. But that's what I've been hearing. I mean, I for the most part about what them AirPods, I always hear about people losing them, or oftentimes when I talk to people with AirPods, there's always some technical difficulties. Wait a minute, these shits done went out. It's always it hasn't. You know, I guess they still, you know, still kind of beta with them shits.
After about 4 months, 5 months, you Teddy Riley with that shit on the phone.
Yeah,
man, I can't hear you going in and out. Hold on. Let me put it on speaker. You know what I'm saying? Then you on speaker, and then they all of a sudden want to reconnect. Now you're not on the speaker no more, and you be like, God damn, where the sound at? And they back in your AirPods. You like, oh Lord, this shit here.
Yeah, a lot of glitching. That could also be the Bluetooth shit too, because that shit happens sometimes. Like, you know, when you got the little Bluetooth set up in your car. And you having a conversation and maybe you turn your ignition off or something like that, and then that shit transfer over, or you trying to get it, you on the phone before you get in the car, that you in the middle of a conversation, you're like, hold on, let me turn this thing on, and then the shit start going back and forth. It could be some Bluetooth shit. Who know?
Man, you know who had that Bluetooth shit down pat? I had a rental car. And it was a Toyota Camry. Once that shit linked, that shit was seamless. You know what I'm saying? You get out of the car. As soon as you get back in the car, your music start right where it left off. I'm like, God damn, Cameron. You know what I'm saying?
Pretty fly, yeah.
That shit was smooth.
They had, selling, you know what I'm
saying? They had a smooth little Bluetooth scenario. Now the graphics look like, you know, them old school MP3 players and shit, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Some shit look like you might have to know some code or something, but the graphic interface is not it, but the functionality, that shit is smooth.
Yeah. That's crazy. On some rental car shit, just aside, real quick tangent. The Buick LaCrosse might be one of the best rental cars I've ever got in my life. This was a couple years ago. That shit, I forget. I mean, on so many different levels, I can't even remember everything about it, but I just remember being like, yo, this is remarkable. Like, I was like, it was one of them things where you note it down. You like, oh, I might have to get this again. Because, you know, it's always a crapshoot. You know what I'm saying? Some are better than others. But I was like, oh, this is a nice little balance of everything I could need. Yeah, so shout out to, and then I heard from other people that the Buick LaCrosses, they go fast just for that very reason. Like, it's pretty, you might have to call ahead to make sure you get one, because people in the know. You know what I mean?
There's always that jewel of a rental car that people you wouldn't know, because it won't be something you'll buy. But once you in it, for your rental car purposes, it works. Mm-hmm. That little Cadillac SUV was one of the later ones that was like that. Mm-hmm. Get up in there and it's like, oh, this is nice. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Surprise. Yeah.
If I ain't have, you know what I'm saying, a whole lot of discretion about my style options. This is shit. I got this bitch.
I might come through.
You know what I'm saying? Then one before that, this was a long time ago. This was my L.A. rental car every single time because not a lot of people, it wasn't like in high demand. It was like a new car that it didn't last long at all. But the options that it had in it was top notch for a rental car. You know what I'm saying? So it was like a Lincoln, like a small Lincoln, like a car, not like a big town car. It's like a sports car, almost four door sports car. I can't remember the name of that motherfucker, but shit was all leathered out. You know what I'm saying? The shit had heated seats. It had cool seats. That was the first car I got in that had the cool seats. You know what I mean? So you in LA, come out your meeting, that shit, the car is hot. You just put on the cool seats. You know what I'm saying?
Then that's hard. Oh, I haven't even been in a cool seat car. I've heard about them, but this shit's still urban legend to me.
I'm like, this is nice. And it had the speed, you know what I'm saying? It had a nice speed to it. Had the fake gear shift if you wanted to. You know, all cars got that shit now. And they probably had it then, but this was my first time rolling in it. So it had
what you mean, the paddle shift?
You had the sport shift, you know what I mean? You could click it over in sport mode and then, you know, fake like you driving a stick, but you know.
Right, right.
The best thing about that car, it had a quality system. That system was banging for a rental car, especially. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. No, rental car, you get the regular, the Reggie. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. This shit had the Bose type, boom, boom. And that was in the 3-6 Mafia era. So, you know, I was like, I want that shit every single time. Put me on that. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of them. Oh, shit.
How'd you find out about that? Just happened upon it type thing?
I just got it. You know how you just get it as a, that's, you know, they just give you whatever they got.
Right.
Shit, I don't know what that is. Like, what is this? LRX or some shit? I'm like, oh,
right.
And then you get next in, you okay. Know. Got the leather. Okay, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? Right. Then you hit that gas. Woo, oh, shit. This shit. Okay. You know what I mean? So I made sure that I reserved that shit every single time. When I got that Camry the other week, like 2 weeks ago, I had, you know, it's like Enterprise, so you could choose from your weight class, whatever one you going what you want. And then they had the Camry and then they had a Charger. And the Charger had leather, it wasn't no Hemi, but it had the leather. It was, you know what I'm saying? But I was like, man, I don't want to be riding around Atlanta in no fucking Charger. That's asking to get your window bust out. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Asking to get pulled over. I'm like, man, let me get this Camry. And especially, you know, man, it ain't like if it was the Hemi, I would have maybe thought twice about it and didn't leave nothing in the car ever. Right. Got my insurance right. Made sure, you know, had insurance on speed dial. But it was the Reggie engine, so it was like, they ain't worth the troubles.
The Reggie engine, that's the worst. Niggas breaking your car and be disappointed.
Like, they gonna be sad.
And bullshit.
This ain't no Charger driver. You know what I'm saying? Shit, there's supposed to be at least a pistol in this motherfucker. Summer joint.
Right. This nigga don't even fit the profile.
Yeah, this nigga they gonna get in there and get some itineraries and some runner shows and shit. They gonna be sick. What the fuck is this?
Zoom links in this bitch.
You know what I'm saying? That's it.
I saw that. You seen that Colin Kaepernick show? Any of that shit? Black and white?
Not yet. I heard about it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, I saw about 2 episodes so far. I like it so far. So far, it's pretty good. I didn't really know what to expect. You know what I'm saying? I like it. I like how they presented certain things. I like the angle that they got. Mm-hmm. I guess it's something that I realized I probably never seen before. Like, I know I have friends that are biracial, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I'm familiar with, you know, kind of like the struggle, you know what I'm saying? On an abstract level, you know what I'm saying? You've heard enough from certain people or friends or whatever, but like to kind of see it on screen in a way that's presented. Like, it's one thing to hear somebody say it. It's another thing to show somebody. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Just how little microaggressions may happen, even in the home, right? Mm-hmm. And it's one thing, like, you know, just one thing, like, they do quite a bit on just showing, like, little microaggressions in the home because his parents are white, right, and he's black. And it made me think, you know, there's microaggressions. Everybody, parents, hit the kid with a microaggression. But if you, you know what I'm saying? That's parents are great parents for that.
Hit you with a macro.
They go macro, but they'll go micro too. You know, they get, it's a you know, it's a barometer. It's a barometer. Mm-hmm. There's certain, the micro is the shit that you could kind of buck back against a little bit. But when they get macro, that's when you know you got to fall back. You're like, all right. You know what I mean? Because it could get physical. It could get turned into a physical aggression, turn into assault. But when it's micro, you know, like, you can feel a certain type of way, like, whatever, they talking that shit. But I've never had to consider, is this shit racially loaded? You know what I'm saying? Like, because there's never been that disconnect between me and my parents as far as ethnicity goes, as far as race goes, you know? So it's just something to kind of see. But then also, and I've heard little conversations, I've had friends, you know what I mean, they kind of tell me these little stories or whatever, but like, again, to see it like just acted out. So there's this, the first episode or the second episode, I think, it might be the first episode, where he get braids, right, for the first time, you know what I'm saying? And it's just like, he might be about 13 or some shit like that, and he going his homie is a black cat. He gets some braids and shit, and he, you know, Colin's got the little fro or whatever. He's like, yo, you should get some braids. You know what I mean? Da 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 da. So he was like, yeah, maybe. He said, yo, if you want to, this the girl, she do it, Tasha. So then he go to this, you know, go to some girl's house, Tasha or whatever. He getting the braids. She run out of grease in the middle of doing his shit because she was like, I hate doing biracial hair. It's always harder. The shit be slipping out. Da 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 da. So now he got to go to the spot. They got to go to the mall with her mother. He got his shit half braided, half out, you know what I mean, on some old dirty. And he got to wait till they go shop. He got to sit in the car, wait till they go shop. And then if she finally do it, this is his first time getting braids. So them shits is dumb tight and it hurts. And you know what I mean? All of that shit. But, you know, then, but you see, like, his mom's kind of like, because he go to, like, to the hood to get the shit done. And the area where he's at is, like, a white neighborhood, so it's not, like, in the hood. So he ain't even know about it. Even in the area, even the place where he's at, it's not a whole lot of hood, but the little bit of hood they got is significantly different. So, the moms is white, so the moms go to pick him up. She's like, you ain't telling me you was doing all of that. You know what I mean? Like, kind of, like, not saying, what the fuck, you ain't tell me he was going to be in the hood, this type of shit. So, and then she's looking at his hair, reacting, and he's kind of, you know, they got, like, the little, they intersperse, like, Colin Kaepernick's actual commentary on various shit and, like, kind of showing the history of certain shit and culture. So he was like, you know, this is obviously pre-AI, but he talks about when AI got braids, how, you know, he looked like a thug. There's a part where his father's like, you look like a thug. You know what I mean? And he kind of breaks down the whole thug shit. So it's like this little hybrid of teachable moments and then scripted content. Then, you know, moms is trying to be a mother. You know, that's her kid. So she's trying to, like, indulge him a little bit because it was either going to be that or go, like, to supercuts. And then she takes him to this. She asks her black coworkers. It's an awkward conversation. Hey, where do you go get the, you know, the, they look like ropes, you know what I mean? She pulls out the Slam magazine with AI. He's like, oh, you talking about cornrows. So he tells her where to go, and it's just like this one, it's like one catch-all, like, culture shop with a barbershop in the back. But it's so wild because when they both walk in, they're both so foreign to black culture. Colin's black, but he grew up with white parents, and his parents are white, so they ain't, you know, like, and it's just funny to see what illustrates black culture. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, boom, it's just this. There used to be a spot. It reminds me of, there used to be a spot in the village on A Street called House Anubian. And it's all various, you know, mad little stores, like half like beauty supply store, half like culture shop. So you go and get, you know, the same place where you buy do-rags and shit like that. You might see a big ass Selassie poster, or, you know what I mean, some sculptures, and you might see a whack painting, you know what I mean? Like all of that, like all of the like black shit, you know what I'm saying? Like shit like the ethnic aisle exploded in one fucking thing. And it's just like, you could tell, like, he was like, yo, I felt like I was at home. But his mom's, you know, you seeing her processing the whole shit. Like, she's in a whole different setting. Like, this is different. And then they go, he meets another braider who's, you know, she's, like, works in a shop. So she's more qualified than homegirl. So then, I forget what happens. They load them up with a bunch. I'm spoiling the whole first episode. I mean, at this point, I'm just trying to recap it. But anyway, so they give the kid a whole bunch of shit to do, you know, like all types of oils and shit for his scalp, and just shit that's so foreign to the parents.
Right.
Then, lady that braided his hair said, look, if you don't really want to come back to the shop, you could come to my crib. You know what I mean? I'll braid them there. So then, like, his shit start. He feel great when he get his new braids. He go to school. It's like, he was like, your shit feel like I had new sneakers on. And he rocking them shits till they start getting fuzzy. And Shorty was like, your braids, you need to moisturize. Your braids is fucked up. Like, it's like one of the few black girls in this, you know what I mean? So he's like, damn, I guess I got to go get rebraided. So he go to the girl's house. Moms takes him there. And it's just a black-ass house. But she gay. She got a partner. You know what I'm saying? Like, she, you know what I'm saying? Like, she got her own thing. And this is, I guess, like, early 90s. So this was very progressive. Again, their house is just black as shit. You know what I mean? There's, you know, like, just shit that you probably wouldn't see in the white. Incense burning. They cooking food. And, you know what I'm saying? All types of wild shit to eat. And, like, you hungry? Colin's like, yeah. She was like, no. Colin's like, yeah. And then there's, like, this running joke so far between the two episodes that I'll probably go throughout. But, like, when Colin's eating his parents' food, he always adding salt and shit. His mom's like, I cooked it with salt. You know what I mean? So then he eating their food. And she's like, I hope you got some salt, because he loves putting salt on food. He was like, nah, I don't need salt. This is good. So it's like a little funny moment. You know, but it's just the way that they kind of illustrate it. It's pretty cool how they illustrate it. I haven't watched the Black Wonder Years yet. You know what I mean? But it kind of gives me that type of vibe, like to see, you know, some coming of age shit injected with some color. You know what I mean? Right, injected right. With like a black experience or whatever. And it's worth watching. I've seen two episodes, and so far they're pretty good. I'm going to watch the rest of them. But yeah, man, I enjoy it.
Right. I mean, that shit is funny. Like when you talk about, you know, the parent, he want to get into something that the parents are not, you know, don't understand. That shit happen in regular black families. You know,
absolutely.
I mean? You want some shit, young people don't understand what the hell you talking about. Some Jordans, $100 for some sneakers. You get the fuck out of here.
Right, right. And you be embarrassed because your people saying that shit wild loud. Are you, boy, is you serious? You like, yo, chill, come on.
That's the type of shit for people with jobs.
Right. You got Jordan money? Crazy shit.
I remember the first time I went to get a fade, like a regular fade, and see, in this era, this old head talk, in this era, that was new, you know what I'm saying? It was like, and only like cats, like, you know, it's almost like a thug hairdo to have a fade, like, call it a Crovalis, you know what I'm saying? And you like,
who was that? Like, what's that name? That a Crovalis? Who's that?
Yeah, that's the name of the same shit. It's like, I guess that's the name of the fade from before, way back in the day. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, in the 30s and 40s when cats were, whenever they were wearing fades back then, you know what I mean? So that was like only like some hood shit to do. Like, so it's like, dang, I want to get me a fade. And the first time I was, you know, I got my own haircut myself. I was like, you know, I'm gonna get me a fade. But I didn't know what the response was gonna be at the house. You know what I'm saying? So I went down, Mr. Rush, And say, yeah, and then I whispered that shit because I ain't want the whole barbershop, you know what I'm saying, to be judging me. You know what I mean? Because again, a fade was for, you know what I'm saying?
Out here. Yeah. Different type of motherfucker. Now you a wild nigga.
Yeah. Right. So I was like, it was supposed to, what you want? You talk real loud. What you want? Right.
Yeah.
Can you give me a fade? A fade? Ah.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, but make it light. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so he gave me a fade, and surprisingly, you know, I didn't hear nothing, no negative response from my pops.
Uh-huh.
But then, you know, we was going on this school trip, and I got on the bus, and it was like people from different schools, and I got on the bus, and some girls I ain't know from another school, after I passed by, they whispered, "Girl, he got a fade." Heard that shit. It was over.
Done deal.
Whatever. I had all the hairstyles after that.
Right, right. Oh, man. That's
but
funny.
It's just funny how, like, fade is the standard, like, the typical standard cut. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But back then, it was like, about that, boy. Yeah. You know what I mean? You don't want to get confused.
Yeah, man. I remember my sister's ex-husband took me to this spot out in the Bronx where they, like, this was back when getting shit, like, getting designs in your hair was, like, kind of some early shit. You know what I mean? And, like, but, like, not just some, not just, like, a little part, but, like, going all out, like, doing fly shit, doing, like, the fucking, the damn cityscape and all of that shit, you know? And I went and got some shit. I remember either that shit cost either like $30 or $50. I remember. He paid for, but I remember that shit cost either $30 or $50, which back then was like crazy for a haircut. And I remember I had like some music notes, the motherfucking Kwame logo. Remember Kwame had the logo of the Gumby shit? And I had that shit, nigga. You couldn't tell me shit. For about a week and a half. Yeah, man, that shit, because that shit grow out fast, but, oh, man, that shit was fire. I wish I knew the spot where I went, but it was somewhere deep. And it was because it was, again, like, everybody couldn't do that shit. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you had to know somebody that could do that fly shit. But,
sure. And at that time, like, in the 80s and shit, you was going to have to go against some grown people when you had all that shit in your head. Again.
Oh, yeah. They got, like, something to say about it.
Yeah, like I said, I got all the shit. I got designs. I got all kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? And then my homeboy Leonard, his mom, she always come home from work. You know, she was an upstanding member of the community. You know, he had a Volvo. His dad, like, first only motherfucker I knew played golf and watched that shit. Like, he'd be home, walk in the house. And he's teeing up for par four. You know? Yeah. I'm like, what the fuck is he doing? Got a golf clubs, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So they was upstanding members of the community and shit. And then I come over there. They don't let you in the house. And you got to be on the porch. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So you out there on the porch with all this shit in your head. Mm-hmm. And his mom went, boy, what you going to do with all that stuff in your head? You ain't gonna never get no job. And then famous last words, shit, I don't even want no job.
Right. You know what That's what you said?
Yeah, like, I don't want no job.
Oh, no.
She like, boy, if you don't get off my goddamn porch.
You don't want a job.
Yeah. But I think it was because she was like some type of psychologist and stuff, whatever. I think she, after a while, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, I always just spit it however I had it, you know what I mean? I ain't see nothing wrong with that. I ain't have much parental supervision as a kid, you know what I'm saying?
You just
wild out the mouth, you know? You're not tempering it for adult consumption.
Right.
So I think after a while, she got a kick out of debating with me, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
She's like, this nigga here crazy. So it was always an interesting
cool
time.
Dynamic.
Yeah, it was like an interesting time always debating with her because she liked to fuss. Wow. Yeah, and so that was funny. But she was going to challenge your hairdo.
Yeah.
Like, lady, I'm famous in the streets with this. What you talking about?
She.
I don't know what you talking about.
Yeah. Square shit.
I got a damn job. You know what I'm saying? Working on a new style. That's my goddamn job.
I guess it's about that time to talk about that that Black Mafia family.
Yeah, it's interesting because you know I was at homecoming.
Okay.
But no, that's why I needed the extra 10 minutes so I could finish the BMF.
Oh, okay. So you fresh off? So you gonna have better?
Yeah, I'm fresh off. I watched it. You know, I did a little skimming past a few little dead parts because I know I ain't have much time. But I did catch all of the meat. You know what I'm saying? Okay. So yeah. I'm up to date.
Yeah. This was a good episode. This is a Lamar episode in my mind. This I tell you, this is one of my favorite. He's my favorite villain. Yeah, he's a beast. He's a beast, dog. Yeah.
I like how they dressed him up like our real famous villain from The Wire.
Uh-huh. Yeah, like very Omar homage. Yeah.
The kid's running off, you know what I'm saying? Then he got the shotgun with the black right. coat with the do-rag.
Yeah.
Like, they not giving the nod to Omar.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which is cool. Timely. Which is timely. Right now.
I wonder if they did that. Go ahead.
No, and I was just saying how I like how the Baltimore Ravens, they play the whistle before their games. You know what I'm saying? The Omar whistle as they come out. So that's dope too.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's really cool. I'm curious if they shot that before he passed. You know what I mean?
Probably because they've been doing a lot of like homages in this. You know what I'm saying? I can't remember them all, but I've been seeing a couple of them. Yeah, little different ones from different shows and stuff. We talked about a couple before, but I don't recall them off top, so we ain't got to go there.
That's cool. There's so much, not so much, but there's enough, you know, cultural touch points within, you know what I'm saying, Black TV, Black cinema, that it can reference shit, you know what I'm saying, and some more Black stuff. Because I remember I was watching The Shy, and they did a whole episode, it was called Love Jones. So, you know, obviously it takes place in Chicago anyway. So there was so many, like, little homages to Love Jones. Almost like basically like an interpolation or whatever I think you can call that. Like, it was basically like a whole Love Jones themed thing without it being super heavy-handed. Like, if you knew, you knew. You know what I mean? Certain things you caught, certain things you thought. I think that's kind of cool, like the little nods to shit. You know what I mean? But when he came out looking like Omar, that was wild. You know, the scene where he bodied Slick. I hated to see Slick go out like that, man. You know, I fuck with Slick heavy. Yeah, and they play that.
And for nothing. You know what I'm saying? It's like.
Yeah, that was silly.
He promised them, like, if this water thing don't work out, Meechin,
cut your water
T ain't the only ones going to get their water cut off. But he ain't even execute the plan.
No, he
went on script immediately. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. He's erratic, though. He's an erratic.
Went straight to old girl house. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, nigga, what you thought?
Man, no poetry.
Give it time. No poetry. No nothing. You thought it was just, I'm sorry?
Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying? Then you go all the way off. You off the off the rails.
Yeah.
Kicking the dough. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Grabbing her up through the bars. He's all the way off the rails. You know what I'm saying? You out here making me look crazy. No.
Nah, nigga, that's
that
you.
That would be you. You doing a good job of that on your own, player.
Right. And it took Zoe to be in the window looking at him for him to kind of see he was spiraling. Just to kind of see. That shit put a break on for a second, but he kept going. He kept wilding. Shit. Yeah.
He, you know what I'm saying, went to his own, you know, went to Slick and towed him up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He out of control. T out here is trying to be a student halfway.
Yeah, he need to get that up. I think that was the end of that. Yeah,
a student and a teacher and a coach.
You know what I'm saying? And a booster. You know what I'm saying? He inviting the teacher down to the bowling spot. Come on, man, bowl with us.
This nigga is, you know what I'm saying? He the most pulled together, organized teenager in the game.
Yeah. He like Tariq. Like Tariq with all of them fucking, all that multitasking. Yeah.
Wait, so he what, in the 10th grade?
I don't know what grade he's in. I have no clue what's going on.
Nah, because at the thing, the man was like, this is for juniors and seniors. So I'm like, well, if he ain't a junior or a senior, then all he got is 9th or 10th grade.
Yeah, I guess he's a sophomore. I thought, that makes sense. Because that's why he couldn't go. I thought that he was either a junior or a senior, but he didn't apply in time. Because I feel like, why? I mean, 10th grade seems a little early. I could be wrong. Seems a little early to really, I mean, it's actually probably responsible to really be looking into colleges, because I definitely waited a little too long. But 10th grade seems a little early, but, you know, it's been a minute for me. You would know better than me.
I looked at college in 10th grade, but, you know. I wasn't no full-time drug dealer either.
Right.
But I looked in college at 10th grade because it was a group of girls that when we got to high school in 9th grade, it was like this one pack of girls that was like the finest girls in the school to us. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So we used to call them the fine crew. That's it. That's just self-explanatory. Right. And so one of them was in my, what class was that? Like physics or biology or some shit like that. One of them science classes. And we had these lab tables. And, you know, I had this one partner who was one of my friend's older sister, because I was, you know what I'm saying, I probably was like one of the younger people in the class. And then that girl was like, man, I'm changing classes. I'm getting up out of here. So I ain't have a lab partner. And then one of the fine crew girls didn't have a lab table, so she was sitting on the desk. So she was like, can I move my seat to right there next to Ali? First of all, how you even know my name? You know what I'm saying? Like, wait, hold up now. So, you know, all the cats in the room was like, ooh, oh, Junior Ali. And then I'm like, oh, shit, okay. And I'm nervous, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I'm sweating.
Making it hot. Yeah.
And then, you know what I'm saying, we turned out to be cool. Like, it was a cool little scenario. And then she graduated that year. I'm in the 10th grade. She graduated that year. Mm-hmm. And then she went to Howard. So to me, nigga, I'm going to Howard. I'm looking at it. Okay, that's what. How do I get there? You know what I'm saying? If that's where you going, I'm going with you. So I was on that shit early. I applied to that shit in 11th grade, first up, and shit.
But that's different than going to like a college fair in the 10th grade or whatever.
But that's the equivalent, except for I just had different motivations, silly ass 10th grade motivations.
Right. But it's also like I knew of colleges and there were certain colleges I probably wanted to go to, things like that. But like to be going to like to the fairs and I'm getting all of the pamphlets and all of that shit. I don't think I was doing it in 10th grade. You know what I mean? But, you know.
In 10th grade, you had to write a letter to the admissions office and request a package.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's dope. Yeah,
that shit came. You reading about what you need, the SAT and all that shit. You couldn't go on the internet. You had to write in and get a packet.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I remember
and
that
then shit. I took, only reason I know that shit was in 10th grade. Because that I had done it before the end of 10th grade, because the day I took the SAT was in the summer, and we took our class pictures, like 11th grade pictures and shit, in that summer while I was taking the damn SAT, like right in that same era.
Gotcha.
So you know.
Gotcha.
I was
Did
eager,
you take PSATs too or
nah? Nah, I took the SAT one time like a stupid fool. Like, shit, I got enough to get into Howard. I'm good.
Right.
That was that, nigga.
Yeah, no.
I rolled with that score. And then when my pops was like, nigga, you not going to Howard. That shit costs too much. You need to go to community college. Community college? Why would I do that? You know what I'm saying? All these A's and B's, and that ain't for me.
Yeah, like, I don't want to be in the community.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that don't even fit the profile.
Right.
What you had me doing all these, you know what I'm saying, jumping up and down about A's and B's for then.
Yeah, that's the real talk. That's the real talk. I had one of them kind of talks too. My Howard water got cut off because I was waving the shit out of all of my application fees, saying, hey, listen, you know what I mean? Listen, do them finances, da 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 da. Howard was like, no, sir. It's either $75 or nah. And I just said, fuck it. And then I went with whoever let me go for the free. And Air Clark Atlanta was one of the first to fuck with me. Caught a few that was like, nah. But that's another episode.
Back to the show.
Yeah. Let's go back to that. So this kid is super responsible. He remind me, I meant to say this last week, he remind me a little bit. He got a little Coachese vibe to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, just kind of how he move about. Like, he got his own, like, even if he's Meech's little brother, he don't really come across little brother a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of Twin Tower type shit. You know what I'm saying? They both kind of got their own air of bossy. You know what I mean? They both feel bossed up. But, yeah, I think that shit is over for him in school. You know, I think he was trying to, he's trying to make it happen, trying to, you know, serve two masters, you know what I'm saying? But I think ever since Moms found out that he's really in them streets, you know, like, I think this episode, you know, kind of cemented it, especially when they asked him, you know, when they had that real moment with him, like, yo, what's going on? How long you been doing this shit? He said, dog, I've been in since day one. Look, you know what I mean? Like, Wranglers, rough skins. Like, I'm trying to be fly. I can't look this. We make too much money not to do this. These people gonna smoke this shit anyway. He was going to all of the tried and true justifications. You know what I'm saying? Like, they gonna do it anyway. You know, right, they gonna get high regardless, whether it's me or somebody else. And look, the mortgage is paid. What do you want me to say? You know, so it was that. I think this was the transition, you know. And then on top of that, with the little sister's friend, you know, shit really hit close to home. Lamar out here cutting water off, and don't matter what level you on. You know what I'm saying? Listen, like, little man. Sorry, little man.
I'm going to have to cut your water off. Damn, why are you going to run with the tagline on the baby?
On the youngster. Look, you see what's going on. They kidnapping kids. Like, this shit is out here. This shit is wild. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers, there's no parameters, no boundaries out here.
I like Meech rationalizing his kidnapping.
It was a soft kidnapping.
I took her for ice cream without her parents' permission. Oh, it was a soft kidnapping. Anyway,
it was a soft kidnapping. That shit was hilarious. That shit was funny. One of my favorite funny parts was when Pastor Snoop took a little payola or whatever, took a little bribe or whatever, and then came back out to see the pops. It was like, I only got $5 on me. I love that. You see that? You know what I'm talking about? Or you skipped it? Okay.
Yeah, when he brought the food, funny. We brought the groceries or whatever.
Yeah. He was doing Uber Eats way back
pockets
then.
Pockets full of money.
I only got $5 on me. You know, shit. This your pastor, lying like a motherfucker.
They need to fix Pastor Wig, boy.
Yeah, his shit wild. Got a little, he got a little cameo. What do you used to call them shits? The shag on the back. What else? What else do I remember from this one? I didn't know that was a Loose Ends record.
What's that?
What's the record? Was it The Rain? Shit that was playing that he was singing, Lamar was singing when he killed Slick.
I don't even remember.
I'll tell you. Can't Stop the Rain. You can't stop the rain. I didn't know that was Loose Ends. I'm so used to, you know, hanging on the string. I'm used to them having like more upbeat type of shit. That's kind of like real down tempo. That shit was wild. That was a nice little needle drop. I'm trying to think who else had good scenes in here. More shit. Yeah. Oh, the whole Kato thing. That's about to turn into something. What's my man's name? What's my man's name? I forget his name.
B Mick.
Yeah.
He probably gonna have to kill Kato.
Yeah, he probably going to have to kill Kato. I mean, it looked like that's going to have to happen. You know what I'm saying? Because I thought he was going to kill her. I thought he was going to kill her this episode. I thought he had a little something more than just, oh, you dating somebody else. I thought he had some type of indication that she was in it with Lamar.
Right.
But
that's on the way.
That's going to happen. I'm curious how this whole thing's going to play. I just feel like there's still been a lot of tension between, you know, Meech and even now T with B. Mickey. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like,
but I think that's how they plan it up. But if you're reading the script, if you were following the script, you know what I'm saying? Meech like, nah, script. This nigga been with us. Just the script of the show.
Oh, okay.
He's like, nah, okay, this nigga, he been down with us from day one. Like, he, you know what I'm saying? Even when he had the, you know, they had the little tension or whatever, he's like, man, listen, you could do this how you want to do it, man, because, shit, you been down with us day one, but it's just a structure to this organization. Like, we're giving you good, you know what I'm saying? We're giving you a good rate. But then T didn't do what Meech told him to do and give him the brick. He sold it to him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that, you know, it's a little... No, T don't trust him. Meech trusts him. But if I'm gambling, just like Meech gambling, Meech always win in the story.
Oh, nigga. You seen that gambling scene is ridiculous. Yeah, that nigga, Meech is Superman. I tell you, this nigga, Batman, Superman. He'll never lose.
He's infallible. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
The
plug don't want to fuck with me. The plug going to fuck with me after the next scene. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
This nigga don't want to give out the information. Give me three steps. It's done.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Shit, I got caught slipping at the liquor store. I got niggas just out there on drugs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Just on go. Like, about 10 of them just, you know, read them, you know.
Mm-hmm. That I ain't even know was there. Right. It just happened to be there. They just happened to be backup. Yeah, exactly. These are some freelance niggas. You know what I'm saying?
The hood love me.
Yeah, the hood love me like a motherfucker. Yeah. But it's going to be interesting because I feel like they're building something with that whole thing. Like, they had their attention, but to your point, they come up together, but then, like, now, because before I was just really paying attention to the Meech and B. Mickey thing. But, like, now I'm seeing T kind of feel like he seemed a little disgusted with him, kind of. And I don't know exactly where that stems from. But he was like, man, I'm not giving that motherfucker nothing free. You know what I mean? And then that felt the way. You know what I'm saying? And then that also was a little bit of, you know, this is what the plan was. You going against the plan. Like, they don't really be, they just be running their own offense between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they, you know, they both could get on some wild card shit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it seems like more T can be a little bit more wild card than Meech. But, maybe because I'm watching it. Go ahead.
He more of a stricter type of, you know what I'm saying, hustler. Like, he operating from a strict. I got a question, though. Why are they still looking for a plug?
Well, I thought they had the plug. Then they had the girl, the woman.
Yeah, but then why Meech had to get the plug, you know what I'm saying?
No, I don't think he was looking for a plug. I think he was looking for an outlet to, because he wants to sell weight. He don't want to break it down, so he's looking for somebody big to cop from him. That's what I thought.
Oh, okay.
That's what I thought he was getting put on. His man that bought the brick off him before. Remember in the car last episode, he was the one that plugged them to this new guy in a different area.
Right. Okay.
You
know, why he asking, he say he ran off on his last plug. Like, what that got to do with you if you buying weight? But, okay.
Right. Well, they saying he do bad business, basically. I guess that's what Pat is putting in the world. Like, you know, that nigga do bad business type shit. You know what I mean? Whatever. And then the fact that he's a young motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? The record store came out of nowhere. I mean, it's a cool front.
Come on, now, listen.
But that shit is like, that shit came out of nowhere, and it looks like it's doing very well. Like, the shit feels like it's, they move fast on certain shit. But even the crew was like, damn, nigga, you ain't tell us you had a record shop. You know? But, yeah, that was interesting. I can really remember.
Yeah, that shit was cool. I mean, I'm used to it now, so I ain't tripping. I'm just following the law. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we in the river, dog. We in the river.
Right. We in the river. I like that. Just go with the flow.
No, that's what it is.
That's what's up, man. So shit, let's transform and roll out.
No doubt.
Like, till next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in a conversation. We out. Yep.
Conversation.